Hi everybody, it's Stella from The Beauty of Play. Today I want to talk about doubling and halving. The concept of doubles and halving is one that seems on the surface pretty simple. And I talk about it a little bit in my addition and subtraction curricula, and I also have a couple exercises dealing with doubling and halving in that curricula. But if you know double and halves well, it makes loads of other concepts easier. For instance, we see it in multiplication and in division. We see it in fraction work and in factorization. And today I'm going to go through each one of those and talk about how knowing our doubles and halves really well can help us in these other concepts. Just a note before we begin, this also works with tripling and thirding. So you can just sub that in for doubling and halving where applicable. Let's dive in. I am looking at the multiplication table that is on my table. It is the back side of my 100 chart. And I am going to start by taking out the multiples of 1 and 2. And we will take a look at those. Now the multiples of 1 and 2 are kind of obvious because all the 2s are double ones. I mean, that is the definition of doubles, is that we are multiplying it by 2. And it's easy to see that each one is double the previous. So if 1 times 1 is 1, then that makes 1 times 2, 2. And if 1 times 2 is 2, then that 2 is going to be doubled to 4. So 2 times 2 would give us 4, and so on. But then I'm going to pull the multiples of 4 and put them under the 2s. And what we notice is the multiples of 4, because 4 is double 2, are all double the multiples of 2. So 2 times 1 is 2. 4 times 1 is going to be 4. It's going to be double that 2. If 2 times 2 is 4, then 4 times 2 is going to be 8. And if 2 times 3 is 6, then 4 times 3 is going to be double that 6, or 12. And that goes through all the multiples. And that happens again with 8. 8 are double the 4s. So if we wanted to find the answer of something like 8 times 7, we would only need to double 7 3 times. So 7, 14, 28, 56. Same with 8 times 8, 8, 16, 32, 64. This doesn't just happen with the multiples of 2, 4, and 8. This happens with any number that is doubled. For instance, if we look at the multiples of 3 and 6, because 6 is double 3, then all the multiples of 6 are double the multiples of 3. For instance, if we look at 3 times 5, which is 15, then we know 6 times 5 is 30. And this can be helpful in larger numbers where we don't have the multiplication tables memorized. So we can look at this with larger numbers. For instance, if we're multiplying something by 14, we can look at the multiples of 7 because we know that
14 is double 7. So if we're looking at 14 times 6, we know that 7 times 6 is 42, so 14 times 6 is going to be 84. This also works with division. So if we're dividing anything by 2, we're halving it, and we can take half of the multiples of 2 to get our multiples of 1. If we want to divide by 4, remember if we wanted to multiply by 4, we were doubling. To divide by 4, we half and half again. So if we are dividing 40 by 4, we can half to 20 and half 20 to 10. And this also works with the 8s. You can half 3 times if you're dividing by 8. So let's look at an example. If we have 40 and we want to divide that by 8, we would have to 20 and then 10 and then 5. And 8 and 5 is 40. We can also use this halving by breaking up 6 in the same way that we took 3s and doubled them to get 6. We can understand that 6 is composed of 3 and 2. So we can first half a number to get the 3 and then divide it by 3 to get our answer. For example, if we want to know what 60 divided by 6 is, we would half it to get the multiple of 3 and then third it to get to 10. And this doesn't make sense when we have something like this where our multiplication tables are most likely memorized, but it does make sense if you're multiplying a larger number like 364, knowing that you can half that and then third that. And it makes a lot of sense when you're looking at division as a fraction, and I'll show you that in a little while. Going back to our example of 7, if we're dividing by 14, and we know 14 is double 7, we can first half our number and then divide it by 7. For example, the example that we used was 6 times 7 is 42, which gives us 84. So if we want to divide that 84 by 14, we can first half it to get 42 and then divide it by 7. And this will make a little more sense when I talk about how factors are involved in doubling and halving. Let's take a look at this with fractions. When we double fractions or multiply by 2, two things can happen. You can double the numerator or you can half the denominator, and they both end up being the same thing. For example, 2 times 1/4, if we double the numerator, that's 2/4, but when we reduce that, it equals 1/2. So we have halved the denominator. So you can either double the numerator or half the denominator. When we double the numerator and reduce the fraction, what we're doing is halving the denominator. So let's look at another fraction. 2 times 3/4. That can be 6/4, where we're doubling the numerator, but when we half that, when we reduce that fraction, it's 3/2. So the 3/4, if you double the numerator, becomes 6/4, or in the reduced form, 3/4 doubled becomes 3/2, where the denominator is half. And if a child understands that, it's very helpful. And going back to how the multiplication and division works, this also works with using 4 and 8 in the same way. When you multiply by 4, you are halving that denominator twice. So 4 times 1/4, halved would be 2, and then half again would be 1, so you have 1 over 1. Now let's use a denominator that isn't the same as 4. So if we're looking at 4 times, let's say, 3/8, we would half the 3/8, half the denominator of 8 once, and then half it again. So we're going from 8 to 4 to 2. So we have 3/2 when we're multiplying by 4. If we look at this 4 times 3/8 in the typical way that we would do it, it would be 12/8. But notice when we reduce that, they're both divisible by 4, giving us 3/2. So if we understand when we multiply by 4, we are either doubling the numerator twice or halving the denominator twice. And why do I say that? I say it because it depends on the fraction that you're looking at. With 3/8, that is a number, the eighths, the denominator, that can be halved twice. But if we're looking at 4 times 5/6, the 6 cannot be halved twice. It can only be halved once. And then that's going to give you a compound fraction if you half it twice, which is more complex than what we really want. So what we can do is double the numerator twice when multiplying by 4, which gives us 5, 10, 20 over 6. And then, of course, that can be reduced to 10/3. So when we are doubling a fraction, we are either doubling the numerator or halving the denominator. If the denominator can be halved, then it's better to go ahead and half the denominator because that gives you the reduced form of the fraction. If the denominator cannot be halved, then you double the numerator. But there's a definite pattern there with doubling, and it works in fourths and it works in eighths. For instance, eighths times, let's use 16 because I know that can be halved 3 times. 8 times 3/16. If I take 16 and I half it once, I get 8. Half it twice, I get 4s. And a third time, I get halves. So the answer is 3/2. Now, if we do this the traditional way, 8 times 3/16, we will multiply 8 times 3, which gives us 24 over the 16. And of course, that has to be reduced. They are both divisible by 8. 24, the numerator, divided by 8, would give us 3. And 16, the denominator, divided by 8, would give us 2, giving us a total of 3/2, which is the same fraction. It's just far easier to skip all of those and half 16 3 times. When we are looking at multiplying by something that does not half 3 times, like 8 times 2/3, then we can know that we can double the numerator 3 times. Going from 2, 4, 8, 16. So our answer is going to be 16/3. which in this case is really easy, just to multiply 8 by the numerator 2, giving us 16, and then thirds. The flip side of that is when we half a fraction. So if we're taking 1 half times 3 fourths, what happens in halving is the denominator is doubled. So if I have half of 3 fourths, since 4 is my denominator, I double that to 8, and it takes our 3 fourths and makes it 3 eighths when I take half of that 3 fourths. And that works for any number half of 721 over 222 would give us 721 over 444. And knowing that doubling halving relationship really helps us, and it works with our fourths and our eighths as well. When we multiply something by 4, like 3 fourths times 3 fourths, in this case it's really easy to go ahead and multiply those out, 3 sixteenths, but we can also know that we are doubling the denominator of 4 2 times. So if we're looking at 1 fourth of something like 78 over 221, then instead of going through the multiplication process, we can take 221, double it to 442, and double it again to 884, and know that 1 fourth of 78 gives us 78 over 884. And the same thing happens with 1/8, only this time we're doubling 3 times for the 8th instead of 2 times for the 4th. Another way that I alluded to earlier is when we look at long division as a fraction, we can use our halving abilities to find an equivalent expression that allows us to divide more easily. For example, I have 1,284 divided by 32. If I write that in fractional form, I have 1,284 over 32. What I noticed is that both of these are even, so both of them can be halved. If I half 1,284, I get 642. And if I half 32, I get 16. Both of these are still even, so I can half them again. 642 is 321, and 16 halved is 8. They're no longer even, so they're no longer halved. You could go on and look at, are they divisible by 3? One is, the other is not. Are they divisible by 7? And so forth. But dividing 321 by 8 is significantly easier than dividing 1,284 by 32. And we're doing this by taking our division problem, making it into a fraction, basically finding the equivalent fraction. But if you understand this process, you can just half as many times as both will half, both the total and the divisor, to have a new problem that is much easier to do than the original. I'm going to switch over to the rods now because I want to talk about factors. And using doubling and halving is a great way to find all the factors. For example, if I'm looking for the factors of 24, then I can half 24 and know that two of my factors are going to be 2 times 12. And if I have 12, then I know another set of my factors is going to be 4 times 6. And you can actually see this with rods. If you take the 4-6 rods and line them up 2 by 2, so you have 2 rods of 6s end to end and another 2 rods by 6s end to end next to each other, you can see their shape is equivalent of 2 by 12. We're halving one number and doubling the other. I'm going to look at that on paper in a second, but 6s can also be halved into 3s. And because we have 4 6s, we're going to have 8 3s. And then you want to look at other numbers other than halving, because with the halving, all the numbers are going to be multiples of 2, and you need to make sure you get your multiples of 3. In this case, we ended up with a multiple of 3, 3 times 8. So we already know that that is a factor. So we have our factors of 12, 8, 6, 3, and 2, 4, 24. Let's look at this example on paper. So if we have 24, we know one pairing is going to be 2 times 12. If we double the 2 to 4 and half the 12 to 6, we have another pair of factors, which is 2 times 6. And if we double the 4 again to 8 and half the 6 to 3, we have another pair of factors, which is 8 times 3, which is 24. So this is a really good way to find factors. This is particularly helpful when you get to algebra, when you're factoring polynomials and you're looking for various factors in the last term. For example, if we're looking at 36, we know 36 is 6 times 6. Then if we half 1/6 to get 3, we can double the other 6 to get 12 and know that that's also a factor. This works well with larger numbers. If we're looking at 120, we can say 12 times 10 are factors of 120. If we half 12, we get 6. That means we have to double 10, 20. So 6 times 20 is our factors of 120. If we half 6 again to 3, then we need to double 20 to 40, meaning 3 times 40 is a factor, our factors of 120. And we can go the opposite direction as well. 12 can be doubled to 24, which means that we have to half the 10 to give us 5. So it helps in finding factors. The halving concept can also be really useful in finding prime factors. For example, if you have something like 64 and you're looking for the prime factors of 64, each time you can halve it is a factor of 2. So we can halve it once to 32. We can halve 32 again to 16. We can halve 16 again to 8. We can halve 8 to 4, halve 4 to 2 times 2. So 64, it has a prime factorization of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 2s, or 2 to the 6th power. If we're looking at 36, we can halve 6 once to give us one factor of 2. When we halve 36, we get 18. We can halve that again that 18 halved is 9, and 9 is far easier to factor into 3 and 3.
And those are some of the ways that doubling and halving can help in calculating and counting numbers. Those aren't the only ways, so just keep your mind open and keep looking as you work through your math journey for the ways that you can use doubles and halves. I hope you enjoyed the video. If you have any questions, you can send me an email, respond to the post by leaving a comment, or you can ask me in the community section.